The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Today it is pet diets, pet seatbelts, pets eating chicken heads. What? Pet behavioralist? We got Dark Side of the Pooch's Dr. Rapster of the Rossburg Animal Hospital. He joins us right now. Always brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Nearly 50 years in the business right down there in beautiful Homewood. They've redone the streets, so there's plenty of parking down there. Go to Ed's Pet World for all your exotic pet needs. Anything from chinchillas, they got sugar gliders, fantastic fish down there. They got rabbits getting ready, of course, for Valentine's Day. We also have, of course, Easter coming up. They've got all kinds of just parrots, cockatoos, tarantulas, you name it, big bullfrogs, whatever you want down there. And, of course, Seth also sells some unbelievable toys. About 50% of his store plan is unbelievable toys. He travels the United States of America, buy, selling, and trading. Of course, a wonderful collectibles, Star Wars stuff, Battlestar Galactica stuff, Legos, and more. Check out Ed's Pet World. He is Dr. Rab Stewart. And Dr. Rab, we missed last week. You texted me about an hour before the show and said there was a pet emergency. Is everything okay?
Well, I think it was one that was going downhill really fast. And honestly, I cannot even remember exactly what it was, but I think it was one that we had to put to sleep.
Yeah.
It's a bummer. But, you know, unfortunately, that happens. And we try to make ourselves handle that situation, you know, emotionally, you know, from our staff standpoint, by saying we are still giving a treatment that will help the pet, because you are.
Yeah.
Euthanizing pets is not easy for the pet owner, especially, but it's also not easy for us. And so that's kind of how we leave the room. You know, in our minds, we say, well, you know, we just helped this pet, even though we put it to sleep. We gave it a treatment that has alleviated pain and suffering.
Yeah.
And that is the number one thing that we try to do, is we try to keep pets from feeling bad.
And I I've said this before, and obviously you and I have been friends for quite some time. You are just really good at that. And normally, it may involve a large amount of money in order to keep this animal alive, and it may not be a very long time. We know the pet owners. And a lot, we remember the Dear Abby letter about the dog looking over its shoulder while it's going to be euthanized. We've heard about that. And I think a lot of times owners keep their animals alive longer than they need to be, obviously, because they don't want to lose their companion, their best friend. And sometimes it's just not the best thing for the pet, right?
That's right. Sometimes it's time to let it go because they don't understand life and death. And I've had some people say with the best intentions that, well, you know, I know that if something suffers, they will accept death more readily, and they will accept, you know, the fact that they are dying. And yeah, I think that's true for people. I think that that's a great way to think about it for people. You know, you get so sick, and I've seen this with family members, you know, you get so sick, you just don't want to live anymore. You're yeah. ready. You know, you're ready to die. Which is, we're getting like, gosh, wait, this is such a bummer.
I know, right?
Okay, I'm sorry, everyone. We'll stop talking about this in a minute. But pets don't know that.
Yeah.
Like they don't, they have no idea, no concept of their mortality. So that's just not the way to go about thinking about it for pets. They just know that they hurt. So, you know, there's really no sense in prolonging that if they have a chronic condition that cannot be treated and that they are experiencing, great pain and suffering from.
Well, and I think a lot of people think that as long as their pet is receiving attention and responding to it too, that it's still happy. I mean, just because a dog still wags his tail doesn't mean it doesn't want to go or it's not time. And you've always been really, really good, because I've actually had three different dog deaths. I have had all three of them at your place at Rossburg Animal Hospital. By the way, Rossburg Vet on Twitter, the Rossburg Animal Hospital, right there on Facebook, 2080301. And I've asked you, what would you do here? What's the best course? And one of them was a puppy that had parvo. And I mean, that was, we had just gotten the dog. We'd just fallen in love with it. It was very lethargic. And you were like, listen, Tone, it's going to be a tough road to hoe. It's going to be really expensive. And I think it's best if you let it go. And we did. And it was very difficult for the kids, but we did what we had to do. And The good thing is there's always more dogs out there, and so we get more of them, and we're good to go. He is Dr. Reb, Stuart Rosberg, Animal Hospital. This is Dark Side of the Pooch, brought to you by Ed's Pet World. Got a very interesting story that I sent you this morning. There is a representative in New Hampshire. This is really interesting because New Hampshire is the only state in the United States where you don't have to wear a seatbelt. But a representative yesterday is trying to push a new bill that says that it's illegal for you to have your animal on your person while you're driving. So let's clarify. You don't have to be wearing a seatbelt, but you're not allowed to drive with an animal on your pet or on your lap. And a lot of people are like, are they using their pets for seatbelts? Are they using them as airbags? No. There's a lot of people, obviously, that like to drive with their pets. I will be the first one to admit that I've almost had a horrible crash because one of my dogs was sitting on my lap and I was not paying attention. What is Dr. Rab's take on this?
I appreciate the fact that they're trying to keep people safe. So I'm not gonna go against, putting pets in, seat belts or whatever they recommend. I mean, personally, I think that it, if it's me, I've never bought a seatbelt for my own dog, but there are people that do. People come into our office and they have, the harness that buckles into the seatbelt, it's still on the dog.
Yeah.
Obviously I have no problem with that. And I do think that it's best for the pets to not be in the laps of the drivers, more so for the driver's safety and the other people that are on the road with the driver, because you never know what that pet's going to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe it jumps up and it scratches you, especially if it's a cat. Something happens and then you start swerving and then you're running head on into somebody or something, or what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I think it's great. I think it's a little bit strange that this is coming from a state where you personally don't have to wear a seatbelt. So it's kind of like, well, do you really care about people's safety? I don't really get it. So I would say a little bit hypocritical coming from New Hampshire, but something good nonetheless.
And a lot of people are chiming in saying, well, what if my dog's about ready to die? And I'm like, stop already. I mean, we know what's going on. There are some people, I've seen dogs sleeping in the backs of dashes. I've seen them on the front dash. I've seen small animals in the back dash. The one that's kind of scary too is when you see the big dog in the back of a pickup truck going down the interstate. It's hilarious. It's fun to watch, and they got their feet up on the side of it. But it's like, dude. But the thing is to realize that if your dog ends up causing you to crash, you're probably going to kill your dog too. So maybe do it for the both of yous, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fine thing to do. I think that, it's kind of like we talked a little bit, you sent me this article this morning and I was like, I feel like that sometimes like people that govern are just looking for things to like invent and create. So it's just job security for them. It's like, we got to continue to make up these rules so people will continue to need us. So I don't know.
info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We get tons of emails every week. We read them all right here on Dark Side of the Pooch. He's Dr. Rab Stuart from the Rosberg Animal Hospital. Their number is 205-208-0301 at Rosberg Vet and Rosberg Animal Hospital on Facebook. Stacy in Duberville. I'm not even sure where Duberville is. She wants to know.
Sounds like a fun place.
It does sound like a fun place. She wants to know more about pet behavioralists. Now, I've had a friend of mine who had a dog, an Australian Shepherd, and he had it for about 6 weeks, and it was just too much, and he had to get rid of it, and he was unfortunate. But he was going to hire a pet behavioralist. It was going to be really, really expensive. What do pet behavioralists do?
They are veterinarians, first of all. Mm-hmm. So it's not a layman, or it's not someone that just had some training. They went to a course or, they had, a mentor or something. Like, there's a lot of great dog trainers out there, and we have a great one that we recommend that's been doing it for a long time. And he's taken a lot of courses from really good trainers, and he's had some certificates to go through some classes, and he's awesome, and he will train my next dog. But he didn't go to vet school. And these other trainers, they didn't go to vet school. So what a behaviorist does is they are first off a veterinarian who can prescribe medication. And there's somebody that went through 4 years of vet school, and then they did a residency in behavior, and studied under another veterinarian, and they have a specialty certification. So that's the difference. And they handle, difficult behavior cases. You know, it's exactly what it sounds like it is. Really aggressive pets, or, you know, pets that just, they can't seem to behave the way that they need to by going through routine training. So I guess if I were going to put it in human terms, you know, you have a therapist that you can go to and you can vent and, you know, you can, you know, talk about your situations and things like that. And that would maybe be a trainer. But then you have a psychiatrist, you know, that can prescribe you, you know, medication. A difference.
Are most, this reminds me of children a little bit, usually children that have bad behaviors. And I realize that sometimes you just get a bad apple. I understand that. But for the most part, it has something to do with their atmospheric or their environment they're in. Is that true for animals? I mean, if an animal has got a bad behavior, is it normally because it's not being kept correctly or not being trained right, or the people around it aren't taking care of it? Or no?
I mean, maybe, but I think it's more of a socialization thing with dogs and cats. They just, they weren't socialized to people and pets and certain situations during the time where they were the most imprintable. Yeah. You see it a lot with strays that may be adopted when they're older, you know, like even 6 or 8 months old. They weren't around people, or they weren't around other pets, or they weren't in a situation where they were restrained by people. They weren't in a situation where they're around a lot of kids, or where there were loud noises, or, you know, there's just all types of triggers that, if you, expose a dog to those things during a certain age, they are much less likely to be fearful. So of those things. And I think that most of the time we have aggression with dogs, it is fear aggression. They're afraid.
Yeah.
So if you miss that window of exposing them to these certain, you know, stimuli, then they're more likely to have behavioral problems. But there's also separation anxiety. And I don't, you know, that's not a certain window that they miss of socialization. That's just the dog.
Right.
And a behaviorist they're, you know, probably their main cases that they see are separation anxiety and probably fear aggression. That's probably what they see the most of.
All right. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Your email questions. And of course, he is a Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, 205-208-0301. They're the best, and all the Curry family pets go to Dr. Rab Stewart. Tom in Aniana went to a breeder. He just adopted a dog. He didn't say what he paid for it or what kind of breed it was. He said, but he's had it for about 4 weeks now, and every time he talks, the dog cowers down and pees on the floor. He said, was this dog beaten by a man?
I don't think so. I mean,
what does that mean? That happened with my Havanese. I mean, it took almost a year for that dog to finally let me get near it. Because every time I spoke, it would just tremble. And now it's like the best dog I've got. But I mean, it was kind of scary. And I thought to myself, I'll bet you this thing was beaten by a man with a voice that sounded like mine. Well, why would a dog do that? It didn't do it when the wife talked.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think that you can just jump to the conclusion that there's, you know, there was an abuse issue.
It makes for a good story, though.
It does. And I can't tell you that it definitely wasn't. But I feel like that it would be in the breeders, you know, it wouldn't be in their best interest, you know, to do that to a dog. Now, I mean, I'm sure that it could happen, but I think that just like we talked about, there are some dogs that are fearful, and it's not because they missed some socialization window, and it's not because anything was wrong. Like they're just afraid, you know, they're just afraid. And I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe there was, a male that had a deep voice or was kind of large, you know, just like a big guy. Mm-hmm. And all it takes is like the dog to be a certain age. And I mean, just somebody accidentally step on him or yells at somebody else in the house and not even dog. Yeah. And it can, you know, can trigger the dog to be afraid of that type of person or situation.
It's one of our longest running shows, Dark Side of the Pooch with Dr. Rab Stewart at the Rossbridge Animal Hospital. You can hear it at least 5 days a week on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio app. And thanks to the 100,000 folks who have downloaded that app. And of course, wherever you get your podcast, we're on every major indice out there. No matter where you get your podcast, you can find Dark Side of the Pooch. Look for my blue healer right there in the front and listen to our great show. It goes on every single week. And thanks to Ed's Pet World, our great sponsor here on the Dark Side of the Pooch. Interesting thing going on TikTok. You're going to love this. 1.7 million views. Hashtag raw fed dog. A woman of Los Angeles has raised this dog, and she's got this raw fed dog diet that she's pushing. We've talked a lot about dog food, and you've said it over and over and over again. I want you to say it again about the differences between dog food. But a raw fed dog diet includes organs, muscle meat, whole bones, plucked bird heads, fresh fruits and vegetables. She said it gives the dog more energy, it helps his weight, and it even makes his poop smell better. What do you know about raw fed dog diets?
Well, the main thing that I can tell you about diets is if you're not, you know, consulting the book on canine nutrition, you're going to miss out on vital amino acids that that your dogs need, yeah. You know, vitamins, minerals, and things like that. And the number one thing that you're not going to get from, you know, most human foods is taurine. And it's important for dogs. It's even more important in cats. And if you are, you know, putting a bunch of stuff in a blender, or you're chopping a bunch of stuff up, putting it through a meat grinder or whatever you're doing, if you are not consulting a reputable canine or feline nutrition book and really getting granular mm-hmm. with that, then you're not doing you're not feeding your dog a good diet.
All right, I have to ask you, why pluck bird heads? What does that have to do with anything? I couldn't believe that was in there. What nutritional value is in a plucked bird head?
I have no idea. Okay. I have zero clue.
And is there a supplement for taurine? Is there a taurine tablet that a dog can take?
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So I mean, if you wanted to make your own diet, you could do it. It is. I mean, you can do it. There's no question. But you know, when we were raising our kids when they were very tiny babies, we made our own baby food. And by we, I mean my wife, who is the best wife and mommy in the whole world, because sure. she does things like this. And she would like steam all these vegetables and stuff. And like, we had this little machine and we mashed it all together. And I mean, that was such a pain. That was such a pain. And then you had to clean it all up. And like, I was like, can't we just freaking go buy some Gerbers or what? Like, why? And she said, no, it's better for the kid. And so if I thought that was a pain in the butt, like, I'm sorry. I'm picking up the phone and I'm calling Purina and I'm saying, hey, send me back dog food. If you want to make your dog or cat's food, you can, but you just have to be sure that you're doing it the right way. And not just, you cannot just feed them what we eat and think it's going to be fine, because it's not.
And by the way, she is running her bill about $350 a month for one dog, feeding it this food. So think about that. The other thing is 78% of Gen Zers, who have animals, and obviously those are younger people, are going to this diet. And the only thing I can think of between you and I, because we're both pushing 50 or in our 50s, that Gen Zers are looking for some, we're going to get psychological here, they're looking for some type of engagement or some type of connection with something that is alive that's not human. And they think that by feeding an animal a really expensive diet that it's going to live to be 30 years old, and it's not. And you've said this a million times. If you give a dog this raw fed dog diet and then a Purina diet, they're probably going to live exactly the same amount of time, and they're probably going to be just as healthy as long as one doesn't get fat of the other, right?
Yeah. The most important thing that you can do for your pets out there is to keep them at an optimal body condition. Like, if you will keep your pet from being too fat, then it will live considerably longer, you know, barring, you know, any congenital issue or, you know, something that you just, there's nothing you can do to fix. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you take the average dog that lives the average number of years and, you know, maybe is going to die from, you know, kidneys that stop working, basically because it lived too long. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, if you take that dog and you have a dog that is, you know, 20-25% overweight, 30% overweight, it's going to die sooner than a dog with optimal body condition every time.
Yeah. Can you stomach staple a dog?
Oh yeah. You mean like, you like a lap band?
Well, yeah. Do people do that?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, surely not. I've never, I've never heard anybody.
I'm telling you, man, we are going overboard. I mean, you know how much I love my dogs. We are going overboard. There's a new pet spa down. Where did I see it? It's in town, and it's like $1,000 a month, man. It's a puppy spa. They have waterfalls and they get back massages the whole nine yards. And I'm like, we are losing our brains over our pets right now. It's crazy. It's incredible. So why not staple the stomach and be done with it, right?
Yeah, let's keep them from eating. You know, that's
goodness gracious.
I mean, you know, the thing that can keep us from doing that is just, you know, don't give your dogs a mountain dog food every day.
There you go. That's a good idea. And listen, I learned this from you because you know, I had dogs that peed in the house. You're like, do you leave water down all day? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, why? And I'm like, well, I want them to stay hydrated. And you're like, they'll drink when they're thirsty. And so, I mean, I feed them, I give them 30 minutes to eat in the morning. And if they don't eat, it goes up. And sometimes they don't eat and they're super hungry for dinner time. But I mean, if they don't eat, they don't eat. And I mean, they're not going to die by not being, you know, fed for one particular meal. So Dark Side of the Pooch, you can hear it on TKR at least 5 times a week. And of course, in infamy and indefinitely on a podcast, wherever you listen to your podcast, look for Dark Side of the Pooch or Tony Curry Radio Podcast. It's Curry with a K. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Lillian Jackson, I'm glad she asked this question because I'm having the same problem. I just brought Rainer in to see you. What about a month and a half ago? And, he is licking his paws a lot. I mean, a lot. I mean, every time I look over at him, he's licking his paws. He's not whimpering or making any sound. She has the same issue with her dog in Jackson, Mississippi. She said, I just took him to the vet a couple weeks ago. He's healthy. It's all good, but he keeps licking his paws. What's the problem?
Well, it could be, he has an allergy to something. Mm-hmm. And allergies, can either come, usually they come from foods that they're eating or plants that they're coming in contact with, even if it's for a short period of time. You know, the most common thing that people say to me is, well, my dog's inside 90% of the time, so I don't see how it can be allergic to a plant. But it is. And then they say, well, I mean, you know, I live in an apartment and like, we're really not around anything. And I say, yeah, but you know, pollen still blows in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, so they're allergic to something they're either eating or they're coming in contact with their skin. It's not an inhaled allergen like people think, you know, like I have like, you know, hay fever or whatever, and I'm sneezing. And, that, you know, that's not what happens with dogs. It's a contact allergy. So their skin touches it and it makes them itchy. And so they lick their feet. And then when they lick, that breaks down the superficial barrier of the skin. And then you get things like bacteria and yeast that grow, which makes them even more itchy. So that's probably the number one reason that they lick and get, you know, problems, but they can also do psychological licking. So it's not due to an allergy. The only way to know that is it's a diagnosis of exclusion. So you have excluded that there's an infection and that there's allergies and, you know, that sort of thing. And so then, you know, you can maybe put them on some medication to help them, you know, not be anxious, or, you know, you try to figure out, you know, why are you licking your feet? You know, for habitually, you know, there's no real medical problem. So that's a diagnosis by extreme exclusion.
All right. My cat watch is into week 8. I want to talk about that in just a second, but one more email here. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Joseph in Birmingham says his dog is rubbing its behind all over his carpet. He said it doesn't leave anything on the carpet, but he has had its glands cleaned and was wondering why the dog still does it.
If the first thing I would want to know is if the glands were expressed by a veterinarian or a groomer or somebody else in the practice besides a veterinarian, okay. Because some people don't express them fully. And the only way to really express them fully is by doing a rectal exam, and you kind of put pressure on the glands and then you can completely empty them out. So, what was the name of the email?
Joseph in Birmingham.
Joseph. Oh, it was Jeff. Okay. Yeah. So Joseph, be sure that, that was done by a vet. And if it was, then email us back and I'll tell you what to do next.
Okay. There you go. He's Dr. Rab Stewart, Rossbridge Animal Hospital at Rossbridge Vet on Twitter, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital, of course, on Facebook. You get on their Facebook page or call them at 205-208-0301. Brought to you by Ed's Pet World. All right. I moved over to the new pad back on December 4th, and I've not seen my cat. So I think we're into 7 or 8 weeks into it. I thought I've seen it a couple times. I've called its name, and the cat that I'm calling looks at me, but cats will look at anything. Whenever you say something, it doesn't have to be their name. Dogs will run, but cats will look over because they're just that way. Where is my cat?
I don't think it's coming back.
Okay. It's too long.
I think it found a more attractive female owner, and it, or it found a more attractive male owner. I don't know what sex your cat is, but I think your cat, it has left you for greener pastures. I'm sorry, Tony.
You know, well, it was an outdoor cat, and I did have a little bit of a routine where I sat outside with it most nights. It would not let me pet it unless it was eating. The only time it would let me get near it was when it was eating, and that was it. But it was a kind of a nice thing, and to be honest with you, it was great for pest control, man. I mean, I had no mice, no moles, no nothing. This thing would kill everything in its path, and I kind of like that. The problem is I've got a neighbor with 7 cats. And so I keep thinking that it's probably having fun over there, but I still haven't seen it over there. So
yeah, that's what it is. It 7 cats. It didn't leave you for another human. It left you for a harem.
Yeah, you're probably right. He's Dr. Rab Stewart. What else is going on at Rossbridge Animal Hospital? What's it like in the first quarter of most years for you?
Oh man, it's good. You know, I mean, I think that what we see, the good thing about veterinary industry is that if people do kind of fall on some hard times, which, you know, it's been off and on hard times for, I think, almost everybody the past couple of years, you know, kind of up and down. But the good thing about our industry is that even if people, you know, do need to delay care, they always, you know, they usually come back. You know, they may have to put it off for a little while. So, you know, that's good. And so I guess the moral of that story is like, you know, if you need to get your pet's care, it's not like, you know, it's not too late. Don't think, well, I haven't seen a vet in 2 years. Like, you know, I can't go now.
You don't judge people, do you?
No, not at all. We're happy to see.
Where the hell you been? It's been 3 years. I've been sending you emails. What's wrong with you? You don't love your animal? And you're like, no, I'm broke.
Yeah, that's what not to say. Oh, yeah. But I did think of something after the fact. This was our last episode, and I think it was either Tim or Tom from Hoover. I think it was Tim, and he sent a question like, "What annoys me about dogs?"
Oh yeah,
and so my answer was like, you know, peeing and like barking.
Yeah,
but something that I cannot believe I didn't think about this. Why do dogs only puke on rugs or carpet? Like, I mean, I got hardwoods everywhere. And if my dog barfs, it is going to be on the corner of the carpet, like less than a millimeter away from the hardwood. But that joker, he will get as close to the hardwood as he can, but he will puke on every rug in this house.
I know it. Mine did it last night. Mine pukes in his cage. And I'm like, they don't pee or poop inside their cage. But whenever he pukes, he goes inside of his cage. And of course, I don't know what's happening because I'm not going in the back of his cage to find out what's going on. I can only tell by the smell. I gave him a small piece of a ribeye steak last night. It was good. There was no fat or anything on it. And of course, he had just eaten his meal and he's, you know, I could hear, it's like a car crash. You know, there's only one sound. You know exactly what it sounds like when a dog's throwing up. You're like, oh, that dog's throwing up because there's only one sound that makes that sound. And so you're throwing all the towels and everything else. You're like, and you just got done. You just sat in your chair. You start smelling something kind of funny and you look over there and you see their back going up and down. You're like, oh, no. Yeah. Hey, listen, they don't sell cats and dogs, but they sell everything else. Ed's Pet World, Exotic Pets, man, they're doing a fantastic job. They're having a stellar year. I had a mass fish kill off about 3 weeks ago. I lost all 18 of my fish. I had all of them at least 5 years. I lost them in a 24-hour period. I had some fungi or algae or something. It was something I did. But we got it cleaned up, got the cloudy stuff out. Now I'm ready to go and restock with fish. I'm going to go to Ed's Pet World. They got every type of fish down there. They have these jack shaft fish down there. They're like snake fish. They're really cool. They got ferrets, chinchillas, tarantulas. They got a bullfrog that's the size of Dr. Rab's head. They got all kinds of great stuff down there. Bunny rabbits, getting ready for Easter. Check out Ed's Pet World down there in beautiful Homewood. Of course, also check out Seth's Toy Closet. He's got toys from all over the world, still in the box, collectibles and more. He does buy solid toys. Check him out. Dr. Rab, always a fantastic show. I appreciate you, and I'll catch up with you next week.
Flew by. See you next time.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.